This is Free Talk Live. We are here to take your phone calls about whatever you want. Just dial in toll-free and take control of the airwaves. 800-259-9231. You can bring up anything. 1-800-259-9231. You can join us online at freetalklive.com and enjoy the features on the site for free. In fact, the main feature of the site allows you, the listener, to create the content on the website. When you go to freetalklive.com and you look in the main column, all that stuff you see there was submitted and created by listeners like you. So if you are surfing around on the web and you find something that you want to share with our listeners, you just submit it to our website. Other listeners will see it, and then they'll vote on whether they think your submission was a good one or not. And the most voted up will make it to the front page and the top of the website at freetalklive.com. So I want to do a couple follow-ups here to start the show out tonight. And of course, we'll take your calls about anything at 800-259-9231. Joining you tonight, it's Ian.
And Dale.
And Mark.
Dale is joining us from anarchyinyourhead.com. We'll tell you more about that in a little bit. But a couple follow-ups. To start out, I've got a couple emails. One is a short one about bonds. We were talking about what happens when you jump a private bond. Really bad idea. Because the private bondsman wants to make sure he gets his money, so he's going to send bounty hunters after you, and these
are... Is that stealing?
No. It's a contract violation.
It's breaking your contract.
Because when the bondsman...
It's an awful lot like stealing. Don't they put up money for you under
well, that's
condition
the point
that
you're
going to come back?
That's the point that I wanted to clarify, because I had said last night that that a bondsman fronts up cash to get you out of jail. Not quite true. We've got a legal eagle who emailed the show, hey guys, just an FYI, private bail bondsmen don't actually put up any money. They just file a certificate with the court that operates as an enforceable promise to pay in the event the defendant fails to appear for court. So they put up a promise to pay. The money is still at risk. It's just that they're not putting it up front. Because
it's awfully close to putting up your own. I mean, it's putting up your own money. You just don't actually put the money up.
And that's because they have a relationship with the court. You know, they're a licensed bondsman.
Presumably they have money on account that they show them we've got the funds to pay it. And
yeah, they've been around for a while. If they've got their government permit to be a bondsman, then the court's going to allow them to just put the piece of paper up. Whereas if you walked in and said, I'm a bondsman, they would demand that you probably pay up front.
Okay.
So just a slight correction there. Usually when a defendant skips out on court, the court tells the bail bondsman they have a certain amount of time to either cough up the cash or surrender the body of the defendant. And so that gives you a little bit more information of exactly how the bond process
the terminology
works.
Surrender the body. Is
surrender
a little
scary. The body. Yeah, I don't know if that means that it matters whether the body is alive or dead.
I suspect it matters.
You think?
I do. Yeah.
What would happen if a bounty hunter was going after somebody who skipped out on a bond and they shot at the bounty hunter and the bounty hunter had to defend himself.
Well, that's exactly
they're
going to
bring
what would
they're going to bring a dead body back to the
sure.
state, and that the bondsman isn't going to have to put the money up. Here, this is your person.
Indeed, that's exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, you said it wouldn't matter. I guess what you mean by it won't matter is it won't matter to the bounty hunter. It won't matter to the bondsman whether it's alive or the person's alive or dead.
Well, if you're dealing with a bounty hunter getting if you're doing something illegal to a bounty hunter, like shooting at him, then he's going to have to protect himself.
Right. Okay. So anyway, 800-259-9231 is the SACL CAI toll-free line. I guess I just don't understand when you said it didn't matter. I still don't really get
I don't know. I even at this point know what it didn't matter. Oh, it doesn't matter was even in context to. So
okay.
I don't know.
Very good. So the other correction or I guess follow-up from last night is we were talking about microchips. And these, I'm sure you've heard of them. They are inserted little tiny little pieces of rice or whatever, maybe even smaller these days, that are inserted into an animal that you love in order to have your personal information attached to that animal beyond just the collar on its neck, beyond a tag that might be hanging off of it, something that's inside its paw, for instance. And then if that animal gets out, gets loose, ends up at the local humane society, they can scan it in. They can contact you with the information that's provided on the microchip to let you know that they've got your animal. And, Mark, you were saying that this is bad. It causes cancer. Or it could cause cancer, right? And you said that the privacy chick, Catherine Albrecht, is somebody who would be, Johnny on the spot to tell us about how dangerous these terrible chips are. And I think Catherine Albrecht is a nice lady. We've talked with her on the show before. I just think she goes a little overboard when it comes to, like, she's privacy obsessed. And
that doesn't change the science. Like, Catherine Albrecht may be privacy obsessed.
What's the science?
Well, now you've got me on the spot, dude. You didn't tell me about it.
Here's some for you. According to the dogster.com, blogs.dogster.com, this is a veterinarian writing here, the vet blog. He says, last fall, this was from back in 2008, last fall, stories such as this one in the Washington Post, and he links to it, made headlines by announcing a link between implanted microchips and cancer. The microchips in the story are similar to the ones that are commonly used to reunite people and lost pets. Quote from the story in the Post, a series of veterinary and toxicology studies dating to the mid-1990s stated that chip implants had induced malignant tumors in some lab mice and rats. Now, the vet here says that since biological processes in mice and rats are similar to those in cats and dogs, this raises an obvious question. Could the millions of microchips that have been implanted into pets put them at risk of cancer? Microchips have been used extensively in pets over the last decade. They are especially prevalent in the United Kingdom, where over 4 million cats and dogs have received the implants. The British Small Animal Veterinary Association has been tracking adverse reactions to microchips since 1996. They have identified a link between microchips and cancer in two dogs. Two dogs out of 4 million is a very low number indeed. Based on the available information, it appears that microchips cause cancer in dogs and cats at a negligible rate. Also, it turns out that the strains of mice and rats that were cited in the studies that first noted the microchip cancer link have been developed to be especially prone to cancer. In these animals, microchips cause tumors at very high rates. So did anything else that was implanted under their skin. In this case, it may not be appropriate to draw a direct link between these rodents and household pets. Now, he says, I'm not saying that microchips are risk-free. The site of implantation may become swollen or infected, and the chip might fail. However, the likelihood of such adverse events is low. Like so many things in medicine, the risks of microchipping your pet must be weighed against the benefits. To speak from my personal experience, I've never seen a pet suffer an adverse consequence from a microchip. However, microchips have helped me return several pets to people who are looking for them. In my opinion, the benefits of microchips outweigh the risks.
So there's, you know, it's the word of one vet who makes money, by the way, selling microchips.
It's not the word of one vet. He links to the,
got his study.
He links to the AVMA, which is the American Veterinary Medical Association, and they've got a lengthy document written in 2009 about microchipping and, you know, various different information, should you really want to dig into this. So it's not just his personal experience.
But this is the problem with these things is, you know, I've got my science. I can pull up my expert. You want her? I'll have her on tomorrow, okay?
But no, I don't really.
Right. See, that's the thing. You want to talk about this, and then you don't want the other side.
I just gave you the other side. The claim was that these microchips caused...
You have me stating what I've, you know, just remembering something that's been turned.
I'll bring you the Washington Post stories right here, where they talk about the rats and these animals, the rats and mice that had the chips implemented in them. And it turns out those rats and mice were bred to be cancer prone.
Look, this is the problem. There's all these different studies. Everybody's got a study that says this, and everybody's got a study. Somebody's got a study who says that. You never can know what, in fact, is the truth.
It's not an epidemic, though, Mark. I mean, clearly it's not an epidemic. This man's never seen anything like that in his career. And two dogs out of millions of dogs in the UK have been cited as have come down with cancer. So if this was actually a significant risk, then there would be some more evidence, wouldn't there?
Yeah, it would seem like it.
So it seems to me that I don't feel so bad, because last night you had me feeling bad about getting a chip implanted
in my... That's what it's all about. It's all about defending what you did at one point.
You're justifying your
own behavior. You won't let the other side come on and talk because you don't want to be wrong.
We haven't let the other side talk. I just shared with you one news piece here.
What do you mean the other side?
Well, we haven't had a guest on either side.
You've read the story.
Okay. You find one then.
Why? Why are we going on and on about these chips?
You're the one who cares.
No, you are. You're the one who brought it up.
Well, okay, I brought it up, and now you're begging to have the other side on, so go find the other side if you care so much. Because I just poked holes in your claims. 800-259-9231, and that's what you're upset about. 1-800-259-9231, the SACL CAI toll-free line. So a very, very small risk of cancer in return for the high probability you'll get your pet back.
Several days after the Patriot Act was passed, a printed version was made available for Congress to read. Yes, I said several days after the Patriot Act was passed. But that's not unusual. Congress routinely passes bills that has little or no time to read. I'm Jim Babka with DownsizedDC.org, and I say it's time for a new American revolution with the slogan, No legislation without representation. Congress cannot claim to be representing us when they don't know what's in the bills they pass. They shouldn't take the words of lobbyists. They shouldn't rely on unelected staff. And they shouldn't take orders from the party leadership because, after all, they're supposed to represent you. At DownsizedDC.org, you'll find a bill that should be the law of the land. It's called the Read the Bills Act. You can read it at our website, DownsizedDC.org. Better yet, you can use our simple system to tell your elected representatives to sponsor the Read the Bills Act. Write it down, DownsizedDC.org.
As gardeners, we can all relate.
What do you do with all of the excess food that you grow?
Freezing or canning may have been the process you've used, but the good folks at Excalibur Dehydrator have a healthy alternative to preserve the fruits of your labor. The Excalibur Dehydrator will help you preserve your fruits and vegetables quickly and easily, so you don't have to worry about premature spoiling. You can also use your Excalibur Dehydrator year-round to make delicious jerky. And the best part? The foods you dehydrate are free from excess additives, salt, and preservatives. And that's something we can all do without. To learn more and to order your very own Excalibur Dehydrator, visit drying123.com and see how the Excalibur Dehydrator can help you preserve your favorite foods.
Mention coupon code GCN and receive a free book on how to preserve your foods.
Again, that's drying123.com, drying123.com, or call 1-800-875-4254. That's 1-800-875-4254 today.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, boating, towline, shipyard, or decoration. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive a free 100 feet of 550 paracord. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
We the people grow cotton. Weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a silver dollar in a book explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
If you're a regular listener of this station, then disaster survival is vitally important to you and your family. Long-term food storage, water filtration, emergency food preparation, and quality survival products are not just talk topics, but a way of life. We strongly believe in being prepared for any emergency. We are foodandwaterstore.com, owned and operated by people who are into emergency preparedness. And because we are preppers like you, we own and use the products we offer. You'll find quality name-brand proven products like Global Sun Ovens, Wonder Mill Flour Mills, Mountain House Foods, Satchel and Berkey water filters, and many more, plus videos and articles at foodandwaterstore.com. 90% of our customers are return customers because of our low prices and excellent customer service. We still believe the customer is always right. Discover what your family needs to weather any storm at foodandwaterstore.com or call 1-877-773-7123. Foodandwaterstore.com, helping you prepare for the storms of life.
This is Free Talk Live. You can call in and take control at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live. You can take control of the airwaves, dial in toll-free, and bring up what you want. 800-259-9231, that's the SACL CAI toll-free line. You can take control of the airwaves, as we like to say. Joining you tonight, it's Ian.
And Dale.
And Mark.
And Dale joining us from anarchyinyourhead.com. It's a great site to go to experience some excellent liberty-oriented comic strips. And Are you still kind of working behind the scenes there?
I have to order a new pen, which is $70, and I forgot once again to order it today.
Oh, no.
But I have to order a $70 pen. I started drawing a comic the other day. It's scribbled on paper and scanned and ready to trace, and my pen was acting up really badly to the point now where I'm just going to break down and buy a new one.
You've got one of those tablet things, right, that the artists use?
Yep.
So patience and a new strip will be posted at some point.
It's all designed and scribbled out on paper and ready to go, and I'm going to do it with along with an article. It's going to be IP related.
Oh, great. Cool, cool. Looking forward to that over at anarchyinyourhead.com. 800-259-9231, the SACL CAI toll-free line. Let's go to your phone calls about what you want. And then coming up, an unusual matchup, the nudists versus the swingers. We'll tell you what's going on there. Steve is in Florida, though. Steve, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hello, gentlemen. Hey. I'd like to I have a friend who attends Evergreen State College in Washington State, and he told me something that I just found really amazing. It's political correctness taking to the most absurd extreme you've ever heard. In the day-to-day dealings, the day-to-day interactions with other students, the staff is encouraging the students not to use gender-specific pronouns such as him and her, because she might not want to be called her. That might offend her. And I think that if she doesn't...
Where is this happening again? I'm sorry.
Evergreen?
Wait, is this for a specific person or is this for anybody? This is for a certain person or anybody?
It's for anybody, for any of the students. If all of us, Mark, Dale, and Ian, and me are all students there, I can't say he took his pen because he might not want to be referred to as he.
So you would have to use the person's name, or that person took that other person's pen, or John took Mary's pen.
Either that, or because I asked him, and I wanted to make sure that I fully understood this, because I didn't want to, immediately I had in mind to call the show when you started talking this, and I wanted to make sure that I was saying it right. I wanted to make sure that I wasn't getting on there and saying a bunch of crap that's not true. So I basically interviewed him about it to make sure that I had it exactly right. Yeah, and that's what you're supposed to do.
Did they make suggestions for what to say instead? Like, did they do a political correctness class or training session to talk about things you can say instead of certain phrases?
No, I'm not sure if they have something like that. I do know that sort of thing does go on in college, in colleges. But what they are recommending, I said, so what are you supposed to say? And the guy said, you're supposed to say, they took their pen.
That's like incorrect grammar.
It is. Yeah.
You're right.
Exactly. Referring to a single person as they.
Exactly, because I'm not a group of people. I'm an individual.
Right.
So bad grammar is being taught at college. You're being encouraged to use bad grammar out of college.
More groupthink, too. Like, you really aren't singular. You are part of the whole.
What will happen to...
Right.
Steve,
like
what will happen to someone who does not follow this rule? Is there some sort of enforcement?
I don't know if there's actually sort of an enforcement. He did tell me that the only two groups on campus that are taking it seriously in any sense of the word are the extreme leftist, collectivist hippie types and the staff, and pretty much everybody else is just blowing it off. I mean, I'd have some choice words for them. I'd use some pronouns. They wouldn't be very polite ones.
Why not just go real bad and just start saying, we took Wee's pen?
and then there's the question of...
But you can make up new words, and you could also simplify things. Like, instead of saying fantastic, you could say double plus good or something like that. It would be much simpler.
There is a singular pronoun that you could use. You could say it instead.
I thought about that, too. I said it. But then the other thing, too, that if
I know people that want to be called it, but that's for different reasons.
Right. Well, I posted this on Facebook. I posted a little blurb about this, and somebody commented on there. One of my friends commented, I'm actually surprised that in a communistic sort of situation like that, that there is even the concept of property. So you wouldn't say that, he stole her pen, because that pen belongs to everybody.
But you can't steal it then.
Collectivize, you can't steal something that doesn't belong to you, it belongs to everybody.
It's the concept of property to steal something.
Right.
Thanks for sharing that tonight. Anything else on your mind, Stephen?
No, that's it. Just enjoy the show. I haven't
appreciate
called in a while, so I just
thought
I'd call in.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 800-259-9231. Unscreen caller on the amp lines. You're on Free Talk Live. Who's this?
Hey, this is Richard in Tennessee.
Richard, what's on your mind tonight?
Oh, I just was listening to the podcast from last night about the where the cops killed the dog out in D.C.
Yep, again.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that bugged me, and I didn't hear anybody bring it up last night, was how the newspaper seemed to me make it out like the family wasn't telling the truth. Like claimed, you know, that they were attacked and alleged. That, you know, if it was like the cops doing it, it's you know, it's more like they word it to set it in stone.
Mm. Yeah, I'd imagine that's a fairly standard tactic on the part of the newspaper or the journalists out there because, well, the police, they wouldn't lie.
Right. that just irritated me, you know, besides the obvious, I mean, you know, what they did, but just how the newspaper just is, you know, painting them like they're lying about it or something.
Yep, I definitely share that one with you. Anything else you want to share tonight?
No, that's it.
Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. 800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line. So, got another email here. This one from Seth over at the Daily Anarchist. He says he's putting together a series of posts whereby each post is an answer to the same two-question interview, but by different people. Now, that's kind of a fun thing to do. Like, if you're going to do a man-on-the-street thing, you set up a series of questions, you go out with your video camera, and you just interview different people, and you record multiple questions with the same person, and then you can put together different video packages using different answers from different people. Anyway, he says, the individuals I've chosen to interview are those whose publications I've enjoyed in the past and who've made a name for themselves in the anarcho-capitalist community. Although I don't necessarily consider myself an anarcho-capitalist.
I know what they mean when they say it.
I understand what he means, too, but don't like it very much. Anyway, the questions...
I don't like the label either.
Yeah. The questions I would like to ask are sensitive subject material and, as such, get little discussion time. But they are topics I feel deserve contemplation and a diverse range of opinions. The publication of these posts will run in October at the Daily Anarchist blog. So, here are his questions. Number one. When can one ethically engage in violence against the state, if ever? When can one ethically engage in violence against the state, if ever?
Well, I think that, you know, when you're talking about ethics and violence against the state is an organization of violence. And as far as I'm concerned...
It's also an organization of human beings.
Indeed. Well, you put on the uniform of a soldier, you can expect to get shot at. When you work for an agency that takes a monopoly privilege on the use of force, then, you know, like, you're talking about ethically? Well, ethically, I'm not saying it's practical.
We'll find out in a moment what you're going to say. Hang on. More on that question. Your answers are welcome as well at 800-259-9231 or bring up anything. Free Talk Live.
There are all sorts of things on the market designed to keep you safe when you're out and about. Whistles, mace, you name it. But for real peace of mind for parents, students, and children, you need an iSafe bag.
We heard a loud noise, and I could see a flashing in the backpack.
The sound was different than a car alarm, so it was a different sound, so we looked to see what it was.
I think it's a great idea.
Introducing the iSafe bag, a backpack that looks normal until you pull the pin. The iSafe bag emits two powerful sirens and a high-intensity strobe light simultaneously to attract immediate help.
Having the iSafe bag gives me a feeling of being safe because I know when I pull the alarm, people will hear it and they'll come and help me.
For mobile personal security, get the iSafe bag at iSafeBags.com. That's the letter iSafeBags.com. iSafeBags.com.
I thank God that she had that backpack and she had enough sense to use it.
It's like having a bodyguard with you all the time. The iSafe bag, the patented bag with a built-in alarm, available at iSafeBags.com.
Less is more. I want you to think of Life Change Tea as, well, a 2008 Ferrari 612. The Ferrari 612 is a two-door, four-passenger luxury car that gives an exploding 540 horsepower through its 6-liter V12. It has a top speed of 199 miles per hour and can accelerate 0 to 60 in about 4 seconds. Life Change Tea will accelerate your life into feeling more energy, losing weight, and cleansing toxins out of your body so you'll live longer. And guess what? You can accelerate your life without a Ferrari 612 sticker price of $318,000. $1,000. You can buy green tea for less, but unfortunately, it's just another daily driver with no performance. So for just about a dollar a day, you can drive the Ferrari of teas. Don't be fooled by size. Check our website out at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or you can call us at 928-308-0408. Again, that's 928-308-0408. Remember Life Change Tea.
Men, when you want the spark back in your love life, when you want to bring back intimacy, when you want to please the special woman in your life, use Mojo Ryzen. Mojo Ryzen is a safe, revolutionary herbal sexual formula for men that combines ancient Chinese school of thought and modern science to significantly support stamina, performance, and pleasure. Mojo Ryzen is a proven 100% natural product that works the first time, every time. Mojo Ryzen works even after consuming alcohol. Mojo Ryzen will not give you unwanted side effects. Mojo Ryzen will allow you to give your partner what they deserve. Try just 3 capsules of Mojo Ryzen, and if not completely satisfied, send back the remainder for a full refund. Buy Mojo Ryzen at mojo-radio.com. That's mojo-radio.com. Or call toll-free 1-877-330-1120. That's 877-330-1120. Go big, go strong with Mojo Ryzen all night long.
Question. What would you rather drink? Acidic water, which burns holes in your body and causes loss of bone mass, or alkaline water, which promotes high energy and vibrant health? The answer is clear. And if you're drinking acidic water, you're helping cancer cells and bacteria to grow out of control. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using Plasma pH Drops is the best way to alkalize your water and help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, or cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. Again, 269-409-1776.
This is Free Talk Live. You can call in and take control at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want. Just dial in toll free. Control of the airwaves at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line, 1-800-259-9231. Hey, have you missed a moment of the show? You may have. We do 18 hours per week. And when I say we, I mean Mark and I. There's another show on our Sunday nights, which is another 3 hours. So I guess technically we're up to 21 hours per week, almost an entire day of broadcast content for you. If you've missed a moment, you can get all 7 days right there on the front page of the website. But that's not all. You can click into the archive section and go back to late 2006, all free. It's courtesy of Hostgator. Now, they're a worldwide leader for web hosting, and they make it easy to get your own .com domain name. You can create your very own website with their free site builder, tools, and templates. Now, to get a free month of service, you enter through our link, which is hostgator.freetalklive.com. So if you want a personal blog or complete e-commerce business website, you can let the experts at hostgator.freetalklive.com host you. That's hostgator.freetalklive.com. Get your first month free. So 800-259-9231 is the SACL CAI toll-free line. Your answers are certainly welcome to the question from Seth over at the Daily Anarchist, who asks, he's got two questions here. Number one, when can one ethically engage in violence against the state, if ever?
So, like, ethics, for me, the baseline of morality is when you're, you know, is essentially the libertarian pledge, which is, I will not initiate force for political or social gains. Does that sound right to you?
Yep, that's about right. Yeah.
And so that means that if the state initiates force on you, then you're no longer initiating force, and you have the right to use a commensurate amount of force in order to stop that from happening. So if you choose not to pay your property taxes and you're not using the services that those property taxes go to pay for, then you have the right to not pay them. They, you don't go to Walmart and everybody gets charged the same thing when they walk out the door. One guy buys a candy bar, another guy buys a stepladder, and they both have to pay $50. That'd be stupid. So that's how the state works. And if they try to come and collect the difference between the candy bar and the stepladder from you, then they are acting unethically. And if you want to ethically defend yourself, you're fine to do that. However, the practical application of that is it's going to look like the OK Corral.
Right, well, we'll get to the practical portion next. That's actually kind of what his second question is about.
Okay.
Dale, do you have an answer to the question? When can one ethically engage in violence against the state, if ever?
Well, see, that's we all. I think that morality and ethics are contextual. You know, I mean, if we live in a world with a Christian God that created the universe, well, then that's what morality, I guess, would be based on, right? And so that I think it's a real, I think that can get to a really complicated question. I think if you're going from, I mean, the NAP is a context, for instance.
The NAP
is
the non-aggression principle.
I would say that anytime you're, any action you take, you have your justification system for that action. And in violence in particular, people have their justification systems for it. And there are good ones and there are bad ones, and you can always compare them and, try to compare one to another and talk about the reason behind it.
Well, not to a pacifist, this question.
In that context, then no, it would not be ethically justified.
In any circumstance. And
what a person generally believes for themselves, what they believe specifically for themselves may not be what they generally think for others. For instance, a person can choose to be a vegetarian for the reasons that they choose to be a vegetarian, and they may very well be moral reasons for themselves. However, they will not go out and say something like, the action of eating meat is an immoral action. So this is how I operate. I'm a pacifist in the sense that I choose not to use violence to protect myself from the state, and I don't have too many opportunities to not use violence against other people, because generally people treat me in a fashion that I wouldn't need to use violence against them. So the state is the aggressor against me on a very regular basis, and I choose not to use defensive violence against the state. But that is a specific morality for myself. It's a choice I've made for me in order to be more empowering. However, I wouldn't say that a guy that chooses to make the last stand against whatever tyranny is wrong.
No, I wouldn't say that either. And I'm also kind of on this fence. Like, on one hand, I abhor the idea of violence. I think that violence makes things worse. I think that it's practically a bad idea, and we can talk about that in a moment. But I think that I like the idea of turning the other cheek, and I think that violence begets violence. And so I am the new me is disinclined toward violence in any circumstance. On the other hand, I also don't like the idea of my girlfriend getting raped and me not doing anything about it. So on the other hand, or me, being harmed or kidnapped or something like that, or whatever the violent situation would be that would come up. And I don't know if I wouldn't do anything. Right.
Right. Most people don't. I mean, I don't think, I talk about pacifism and people's reactions to the word and
so
people
Sunday
think it
show,
means
right?
everything on the last Sunday show. And I actually decided that I don't care to apply the label to myself. Because I think, my actual views on the use of violence are fairly nuanced and complicated. But I want to try every possible thing, and I do not want to be thinking. I certainly don't want to. I'm not going to say that I will never ever use violence even in self defense. I will try everything else I possibly can, to avoid it. And because I think that it's a heavy price to pay. There's people with post-traumatic stress disorder from using violence in whatever situation they did. You might have used violence in self-defense, but you might live with it for the rest of your life in ways that will constantly haunt you and trouble you. And so, I don't know. I'm not completely certain that I would want to live my life having known that I've killed someone and that be hanging over me for the rest of my life. I might take the risk of that I might not survive an encounter by trying to do something else instead. Things like that. And so I look at it as a last resort, and I also look at it as, I'm not thinking in terms of, I'm going to use violence to defend myself, because that might change the way you do things. You know, it might put you in a situation where you're a little bit more likely to get involved, get into a violent situation because you, oh, I've got defense and I'm justified in using it if I need to, if someone attacks me. And so you might not take every possible precaution to avoid a violent encounter before that point. You might not, you know, suck it up and put your ego to the side for a moment because some guy's trying to pick a fight with you in the bar or whatever because you felt, well, I'm justified. He started the fight, you know. And I would just say that, and I'm not saying you're not justified either.
I'm not saying that either.
Along with my desire to avoid violence is my desire not to judge other people because I don't feel like I am better than them and in a position to judge other people.
Right. You know? I think you're fully justified to respond to initiated force with violence to defend yourself. I think that's fully justified. I just don't know whether it's right for me. Right. I'm just not sure if that's the right path. And you're bringing up some very good reasons. I can think of examples in my life where I could have used violence to stop a situation like a handgun, for instance. And it would have made things immeasurably worse had I chosen to do that. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Immeasurably
worse. That's generally my yardstick, too, is there. I just can't think of too many instances in my life where violence would have been a better solution to the problem than nonviolence or, you know, mitigating harm or whatever the you know, terminology you want to use.
And also, someone will say, I'd rather be judged by 12 than carried by 6. And they're thinking of a situation where if I'm in a situation where I have to defend myself, then I'd rather do that than die. And that is, I cannot break that logic. I can't say, nope, that is not sound logic. I understand that. I think the only thing I can say, and I can't prove definitively, you should not do that. You shouldn't, you know, use a gun in self-defense. I would not be able to go there and have a leg to stand on. But I do think that you can certainly introduce a lot of complications that it is just not that simple. I mean, you might die when you might not otherwise have died because you decided to use violence in that situation. I mean, there's any number of things that could happen, you know. You witness a murder and say, I'm going to go and defend, or you witness someone committing violence and you go and interfere. Now they've been seen doing this thing and now they're, oh, they don't want any witnesses and they might kill people in a time when they otherwise might have walked away.
Also, being an eyewitness is a terrible, you know, situation to start using violence in because you don't know what precipitated the fight. Maybe the guy who's winning was the guy who was attacked, and you just don't know. So you're going to go kill a man who had force initiated against him.
Yeah. More coming up here at 800-259-9231. Plus, I think there's a problem inherent in the question in that he's kind of collectivizing this, using this concept of the state when it should be broken down into the men and women.
John Dennis, an accomplished businessman and entrepreneur, has been a pro-liberty Republican for a quarter century. He's the new face of a new Republican Party, and he's running for congressman of California's 8th District.
I'm John Dennis, and I support drastically cutting both taxes and spending, which will help repair our devastated economy, abolishing spendthrift governmental money pits that fail to produce the desired results, bringing our troops home to defend our country, not policing other countries around the world, and a return to personal responsibility, self-ownership, and freedom of choice for all Americans.
Something John doesn't approve of? Nancy Pelosi. It's time for the Wicked Witch of the West to go away. Wipe the slate clean in California's 8th District in Washington in one blow. Contribute to the John Dennis for 2010 campaign at johndennis2010.com.
I'm John Dennis, and I approve this ad.
What is a wind generator?
How can the wind produce power for a small cabin?
How can wind energy be stored and used during an emergency?
Can I assemble my own wind generator?
For answers to questions about wind power, visit windbluepower.com. Did you know the wind can provide your family with emergency power? It can with a wind generator from windbluepower.com. Learn how our amazing LifeBreeze wind generator kit starts charging a 12-volt battery and just 6 mile per hour wind. Or see the new Cyclone X2 dual kit featuring two wind generators on just one tower. And learn why schools and universities across the country utilize our products to teach about wind power and alternative energy at windbluepower.com. All kits qualify for a 30% IRS tax credit for residential energy efficient property. Enter coupon code RADIO for a 5% discount at windbluepower.com. That's windbluepower.com or call 800-976-0026. That's 800-976-0026.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Allie C. Why Allie C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Allie C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Allie C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Allie C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Allie C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Allie C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Allie C. For more information and to order Allie C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Allie C today.
This is Free Talk Live. You can call in and take control at 1-800-259-9231.
You bring up anything, dial in toll-free the number, 800-259-9231. We call this show Free Talk Live. You can take control of the airwaves, 1-800-259-9231. You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com and enjoy the features there for free. Head on over and you can take advantage of a variety of things. We've got live streams there, and we've got various ways for you to interact with other listeners. Go to freetalklive.com and enjoy, and if you want to help support the show, you can do that by going to promote.freetalklive.com. You get a whole list of things that you can do to get Free Talk Live onto more radio stations, as well as into more people's ears from around the internet. Go to promote.freetalklive.com. And a special announcement, we have updated our streaming links. I mentioned the listening live online. You can do that. The old links will still work for a long time. I don't know if we're going to change those anytime soon, but we've made new, easy-to-remember links. So if you want to listen to the broadband version, you can just type into your media player. You can just type in HTTP, that part, the HTTP://high.freetalklive.com, as in high bandwidth. And then if you want the dial-up stream,
H-I-G-H?
Correct. It's or low.
I've been smoking pot.
No. It's low if you want the dial-up stream. So high.freetalklive.com for broadband, low.freetalklive.com for dial-up. And so that should make things just a little bit easier on folks. That way you don't have to remember port numbers and things like that. So there you go. 800-259-9231. We are answering a question or a couple questions that came in about violence. And the first question was, when can one ethically engage in violence against the state, if ever? And I think one of the problems with the question is the words the state, because the state is a concept. It's an idea. It doesn't actually exist. What actually exists are men and women. Many of them are involved in this organization, this concept of doing violence, initiating force on people in order to get their way, to extract money from you, to get your obedience as well. But most of the state agents, the people that would call themselves the state, are not actually engaging in violence. It's typically only their enforcement wing that actually does the violence. So if the question here kind of suggests that, well, there would be somehow be violence that would be justified against the state, meaning all of the people acting as the state. And I don't think that even in a justified violent situation, and again, I abhor the idea of violence in general, That, you know, if the police came and attacked somebody, that somebody who was attacked would not be justified in, you know, firebombing the tax office or the bureaucrats that are sitting behind desks.
So, I agree with you. But let me test your theory here, if I may. So you're saying it's not okay to attack the postman with a tomahawk when he comes onto your property delivering the mail because, you know, he's just doing his job or whatever it is. And, you know, just because he's getting government subsidies in order to do his job, that doesn't make him evil or having initiated force with you. And I suppose that makes some sense. But, you know, I guess what are the at what point does this stop? Would you agree that that the stealing from the government is wrong, too? So if the postman's truck is sitting out front, could you jump in the truck and take it or not?
I don't have so much of a problem with monkey wrenching. Okay. I don't think that the destruction of government property or hacking of government computers or anything like that is problematic.
Force is wrong, but you know, violence is wrong against the state, but theft is okay.
You know, as we've talked about this before, and I don't see, you know, if you can hack into a government computer system and shut down their system, I don't see what the problem with that is.
I'm asking about a mail truck is what I asked about.
I don't know why anyone would want to steal the mail truck.
The problem with the mail truck is it would have to be empty because you are initiating force on the people who would have their mail in it. It would be reasonable to
you could drop that off somewhere so they could pick it up and deliver it. No, I don't. I'm just kidding. I'm not getting into this. I don't like to think in terms of justifications. You know,
when
I'm thinking what's the best action to take for the results, and I hate to think in terms of justifications. I have a certain personal, and I acknowledge that it's personal based on my sort of sense of feeling okay with myself. There are things I am not comfortable with, and to say the nap is the bare minimum, I'm certainly not comfortable.
The nap
aggressing.
Being the non-aggression principle. We've got to remember
exactly.
To label things.
The NAP is a bare minimum non-aggression principle, but I go beyond that. I really don't want to use violence at all. And I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, on any particular case-by-case basis, you know, it's hard to say. I mean, if you feel like you're alleviating harm and you're able to do it without hurting anyone, well, then, you know, but and the thing is, it's there's a lot of property out there that they say is that they call it public property, which is an oxymoron. Based on what property means, but I don't know. I mean, I just don't like to think in terms of justification.
People get a lot of crazy ideas in their heads, like say paying their property tax in $1 bills is somehow going to do something against the state. And I've I'm asking here, if taking the mail truck is justified because it's monkey wrenching, mm-hmm. then are lower levels of monkey wrenching justified? Because, you know, for instance, I know that the government pays 2.1 cents to produce a penny. So if I buy up all the pennies that I could possibly get, I'm amassing this this copper wealth and stealing from the government essentially. So I mean, at what point does all of this stop? Is it a war against the government or isn't it?
I don't see how that's relevant to really the question at hand.
Because it's because violence is intertwined with theft. Because when you take something that someone worked for,
but they didn't work for it.
I think monkey wrenching could even be backfire on you. I mean, monkey wrenching, just thinking in terms of practical, you know, results, for some of the same reasons that violence often, I think, ends up having a bad long-term result, even when you feel like it was justified at the time, I think for the same reason monkey wrenching can, too. I mean, we're in a PR battle, we're in a battle from hearts and minds, and that can be interpreted a certain way by certain people and really screw up the whole notion of who the good guys and the bad guys are.
Indeed.
You know, and so again, if you think in terms of justifications, you might justify your monkey wrenching and then make a bad decision because you've justified something that isn't smart.
I see where you're coming from a PR perspective. I gotcha. But we're talking about, the question was originally about violence, right? So if you knew that the government people were going to say, let's say, go around and start confiscating weapons, or we're going to start round, or we're in the midst of rounding people up, it would be, again, from my perspective, I would be against the idea of some sort of campaign to bring violence against the people that were doing those things. As wrong as what they were doing, what they're doing is wrong in that they're aggressing against people, they're hurting people, they're kidnapping people, they're taking things from people. it doesn't justify violence, in my opinion, because I want to stay away from violence. But popping the tires on their cars, I don't think there's any problem with that. If you can prevent them from getting to the place where they were going to do violence on somebody.
The bullet in your head is going to be just as hard if you're popping their tires or popping their brains.
Right. I see where you're coming from.
If you're talking about a campaign of violence, you're likely talking about a situation where, you know, like the Nazi Germany coming after the Jews situation that everybody wants to use. If the Jews had had shotguns when the SS kicked in the doors, would the world be different? And it's a question I honestly can't answer. I think that there's a good example in the Warsaw uprisings that in fact the Nazis would have been ready for something like that. Mm-hmm. But
I think they should have non-cooperated.
What you're talking about is you're going to talk about the government, ramping up to a level of violence well above what we're dealing with today, which means that they're going to have guns ready at that point, and they're going to shoot vandals.
That's probably true. No doubt about that, Mark. I'm just saying what I think would be an appropriate action as opposed to violence. I think that there are actions that can be taken in a situation where they are enacting force on people in a much larger fashion than they are today, a much more obvious fashion. I think that in those cases, monkey wrenching is an entirely appropriate thing. If you can slow them down somehow from committing violence against people without actually doing violence on them yourself, then I think that you're certainly...
Yeah, I think I'd have see the specific, suggestion of what is being talked about. Like, how bad is it getting?
I think non-cooperation is monkey-wrenching. Yeah. I mean, just not going along with the program, taking a case to trial, refusing to pay a fine.
It's monkey-wrenching.
I think there's a certain amount, especially when you got the courts are really backed up, going and taking every single little case to trial.
Right, and you want to talk about public opinion, there are certain
people... And that's not
people,
even illegal. I mean, that's not even against their rules.
I talked to a guy just recently who basically said that you're costing the taxpayers money when you take your traffic ticket to court. You're never going to see any change in our broken system. Yeah. He agrees it's broken. You're never going to see any change in the broken system if you continue to facilitate and go along with the broken
system.
And
he's blaming the victim
as well. But he believed it. Yeah, I mean, he understood what I said once I told it to him. But, that is a zeitgeist, a meme that's going around.
So you're right, Dale, that people are going to see monkey wrenching in a certain way. Some people are going to see it in a certain way. But other people are going to see it in a different way. Some people are going to look at that and they're going to say, wow, thank goodness those people are out there doing that, non-cooperating, and they're not taking their cases, or they're not pleading out on those cases, or, they filled the locks with epoxy, or whatever the...
How it gets received depends a lot on how bad the government's gotten and how bad people are feeling abused by it and so on.
I don't think you can check yourself. I think that if you're checking yourself too much, you're never going to do anything. If you're too worried about what people are going to think... you just have to have your own set of morals. You have to figure out in advance where your lines are going to be drawn. And I'm reticent to accept the idea of using violence against even the most violent of the state actors. I'm very reticent to that.
Yeah.
I haven't drawn it out. I've drawn it out completely. I mean, I still have an AK-47, but we're coming up. Hour or two is coming on the way.
Do you have a product or service that you can sell to a national audience? Free Talk Live is a nationally syndicated talk show on more than 80 talk radio stations from Alaska to Florida. We've been named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 list. That's the 100 most important radio talk shows in the nation twice. And the number one political podcast on podcastawards.com 4 out of the last 5 years. You can have access to our 80-plus stations and our large and loyal podcast audience for as little as $500 a month. Contact me, Mark, at freetalklive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.